This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation. We are live at Chill here in Louisville. Come on by. We're right off of 35. And whether it's happy hour or some late night partying that you're into, live music, they have it all here at Chill in Louisville. We have four key stats as the Cowboys get set to host the Vikings that you need to know more about. You should also know that Jack Daniel's Operation Ride Home, a dollar for every Jack product sold today is going to go towards that fine organization right there that gets people responsible rides home.
Tastes good, by the way.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. Looks like Jeff has a little cup of JD.
Sir?
Down there.
I just have a cup. I'm just having a good time.
Oh, so that's by memory.
I'm just broadcasting. Yeah, I remember the taste.
Okay, well, let's move along here, getting these four key stats. This was a story by the guys at the Landry Hat. They actually had five numbers to digest before the Dallas Cowboys host the Vikings, but the fifth one was N.A., not applicable.
Fifth one was N.A., yeah, not alcoholic.
Well, not applicable in this situation. Yeah, that they were talking about the wide receiver duo there of Thielen and Diggs, but it doesn't look like Thielen's going to play there. Okay, so number one, 16-14. That's the overall record that the Cowboys have. The Vikings have a chance to even the series on Sunday, 12-12. The Cowboys have won the last two contests. However, in the last six visits to Minnesota, Big D is 1-5. Fortunately, Minnesota is jumping on a plane to Big D.
Well, good. Yeah. I have a comment, but then I'm going off script. So how
come
much?
On, bring it.
Okay. No comments from you.
Well, Dalvin Cook is there? Dalvin Cook stuff in there? I'll wait till we get to him.
Yeah, let's jump to that. 894 rushing yards is the third number to digest before Cowboys host the Vikings. Running back Dalvin Cook could be an Ezekiel Elliott tamer. The running back is averaging 5.1 a pop. He has nine rushing scores. He has 894 rushing yards in nine games, averaging 99.3. If the Dallas Cowboys can't contain him, Kirk Cousins should have a comfortable night.
You know, after the Cowboys contain Saquon Barkley, and I know from New York they're saying maybe he's not as healthy as, you know, he needs to be out there after the injury. He looked healthy running that 65-yard deal. Jeff, I wanted to talk about Dalvin Cook and Aaron Jones, and I think Dalvin Cook is a better Aaron Jones.
Okay.
But Aaron Jones crushed us. Now, they obviously have a better quarterback in Rodgers in Green Bay than in Kirk Cousins. But Dalvin Cook worries me in the case that the way Aaron Jones just did everything, just throw him the ball out in the flat and just a whole bunch of different ways to use him, especially with Thielen being out. So I was just kind of getting into this matchup and just looking at Dalvin Cook highlights going, man, that looks like a better version of Aaron Jones, and man, did we struggle against Aaron Jones.
I think that's actually a pretty good comparison. I think they are, and I'm with you on better version too, but like Aaron Jones is a better player than he gets credit for because he just seems like he gets up to speed so quickly and can be kind of elusive like that. Dalvin Cook's averaging over 10 yards a catch too. So he can run it, he can catch it, and I'm with you because he is – sort of that guy that he does have the speed, but he's got a little bit of everything. Like, he's got a little bit of the wiggle. He can run, and he's tough to tackle. Dalvin Cook's a good one.
How fast does Saquon get up to full speed, though, on that little pass that he caught? He was, like, within 5 seconds, he was running like a 4.2.
He's a freak.
Outstanding.
He's a freak.
Okay, next number to know before the Cowboys host the Vikings. 16 touchdowns to 3 picks. A sluggish start for Kirk Cousins, but he's arrived. Owns a 112.0 QB rating for the year, a career high, completing nearly 70% of his passes, 2,200 yards. He has taken 16 sacks in 9 games. The real question is how the Dallas front line plans to attack Kirk Cousins, because he is now putting together a pretty dang good year, probably a better year than Dak.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I'll disagree with that. The 16-3, like that part of it's really, really good that he hadn't had the turnovers. I think he's good.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people don't think he's good.
He's had some rough stretches.
He has.
Yeah.
But I think he's a good quarterback. When you let him just kind of – I don't know if I would want Kirk Cousins to have to, like, carry my team. But on this Vikings team where they have a good defense and they've got a good runner and they've got the weapons, like, your job is just to be, you know, just be the quarterback. Just make the throws that we need you to make. I think Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. I think the Cowboys will be able to get after him. I do think that they'll be able to win pass rushing because the Vikings line is better than it was, but it's still not really a strength of the team. They're okay. But I think the Cowboys now with their new toy and Michael Bennett and with Robert Quinn there, I think they'll be able to get after him.
Yeah, I know you have your film room extravaganza coming up here at 4:20. That's one of the most interesting things that I'm looking forward to watching unfold here over the next month is it was the five sacks against the Giants, and that's the Giants and Daniel Jones, a rookie quarterback. But can they be like three or four sacks, go on a run where you're tearing teams up every other Sunday?
Well, I wonder this too, and I just don't know this from not playing NFL football, is the Cowboys have played Kirk Cousins a whole bunch. He was just on the Redskins. He wasn't on the Vikings. I wonder how much that helps out your defense that you are playing a quarterback you've played, I don't know, 8 to 10 times. Maybe I'm overrating how many times they've played. But
I think it's probably somewhere right around there.
That I wonder how much you're like, well, we know this quarterback. We know what he likes doing. We know his weaknesses, where he doesn't like. We know where to kind of maybe blitz him from, where he's uncomfortable if we push it here.
Well, they've had success. I think Kirk Cousins is the quarterback that Tank has sacked the most.
Yeah.
So that's kind of that point. Yeah. I think he sacked him 5 times.
I wonder if it matters, how much it matters. He's just on a different team when you prepare for him.
I think it matters that the scheme and everything is different, but there are some real similarities with his tendencies and where he goes when he's pressured.
Yeah. Now, another thing is where he goes is without Thielen, he'll probably lean more on Diggs, maybe even a little bit on Rudolph.
Yeah, they have another good tight end, too. I forget his name.
Yeah, but. And so – this is maybe
it's probably Irv Smith, the Alabama guy.
Going to your film stuff, maybe you haven't seen this yet, and I just didn't look up the stats. Diggs has, to me, been a really good wide receiver. I don't think there's any argument there. Can he be a guy by himself? As in, what I mean by that is Thielen is probably a hair better than Diggs when you have two. They have two really good wide receivers, and it's tough to say, hey, we're going to send all our attention to Diggs.
Yeah.
Because Thielen's on the other side. We got to just one-on-one with Diggs and hope for the best over here. I'm just wondering, as the Cowboys go into this, and Diggs, I don't think he's played many games without Thielen. I just wonder what he's like when Thielen's not on the other side.
Yeah, a lot more difficult for defenses to match up with two guys as compared to one. I think that's a good point as well, and maybe the reason they were unable to have more success against the Kansas City defense.
When they don't have Adam Thielen, and when they had wide receiver injuries, they brought back Laquon Treadwell. Like, that's a guy that they let go, and then they brought him back because they had injuries. Mm. So if Thielen doesn't play, it's Stephon Diggs, Ola B.C. Johnson, and Laquon Treadwell.
Wow.
So that's a little different than if you've got to deal with those two.
Sounds like they'll be drafting a wide receiver.
Yeah,
Diggs
maybe.
Wants to bail, and Thielen's hurt. Okay, and the final number here to digest, this from over there with the guys in the Landry hat. 14 sacks. That's the two starting defensive ends on the Vikings. They've combined for 14 so far. Danielle Hunter leading the team with 8.5, and Everson Griffin has 5.5. Overall, the Vikings have 28 total sacks in 9 games. So they are getting that over 3 a game that you know, a lot of teams like to get to, and it'll put you in the top 5 of any NFL season if you can pull that off.
I think that's the best part of their team. And I don't know if you view that, like, if you're the Cowboys, what would you want the other team to be best at? Because those two are awesome. And the way it'll match up is it'll be Tyron Smith and Everson Griffin, and then it'll be Lyle Collins and Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, now, that's what I want. Yeah,
right, like, okay, put your best against my best. But I do think that's the best thing they have, and they're awesome. So Lyle Collins, who this year has been maybe the best right tackle in football, he's been really, really, really good.
Better than Tyron Smith. I know they play the right and
right.
left, but when you're saying best on that side, does that mean he's now better than Tyron Smith?
I will say through 8 games, I think he's played better this season than Tyron Smith.
Okay.
I won't say that makes him a better player, but I will say through 8 games, Lyle has been more impressive.
I know this goes to Madden rating, and I don't know their ratings, but if 3 years ago, Tyron Smith's rating was maybe the highest tackle in football.
3 years ago, it would have been a 99, or it should have been.
How much has injuries brought his game down to just being good or really good? Is he great still?
I like the Madden rating idea. Let's say he was a 99 at his best, because he was an all-pro, right? He was as good as it gets. Then to me right now, 90?
Okay.
89.
And what would you have Collins at?
93, 94.
Okay.
He's been really good. The interesting part is because Lyle Collins has taken a really big step and been pretty dominant this year, but this is also the worst possible matchup for him. Because the thing that's always given him a little bit of trouble is he's huge. Broadus has been saying for years, if Lyle Collins gets his hands on you, the play is over for you. Danelle Hunter is one of those skinny, super athletic pass rushers. So it's the exact opposite of what you would want going against Collins. So it'll be a really fun test for him.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation. We are here at Chill in Louisville on 105.3 The Fan. Come by for some, you know, delicious food. We've had burgers. We've had buffalo chicken wraps, nachos. They got it all here.
Pizza.
And, yeah, oh, that was a good pizza.
That was a good pizza.
And happy hour's about to kick off with an amazing party and all that. Okay, odds to win the 2020 Super Bowl. Where are the Cowboys? It is an edition of NFL Things You Can Gamble On right here, gentlemen. As we broadcast on a hump day on your home of the Cowboys, the Patriots' odds, they went from 9-4 to 11-4, so only slightly worse. They don't think that that is much luster off of them.
That's not a bad bet, though, is it? Almost 3-1.
Yeah,
it's not a bad return.
Not as quite as good as the 7-1 I got them in August at.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
The Patriots.
Yeah,
man. I mean, most likely they're going to get two home games come playoff time because their schedule is so easy, as Jeff's pointed out, that you're going to have to go to New England to beat them.
Because the stupid AFC East teams refuse to get better, and they've refused to get better for 15 years.
Is there anything to the idea that they're just demoralized and they're constantly, like, grasping at straws trying to come up with the answer? They just need to get back and rebuild.
Their front offices are taking nothing but Joey Gallo swings, where it's like, listen, we have got to hit grand slams everywhere if we want to catch up.
I think that because they can't get past the Patriots and win the division, it's like they're getting a new coach and getting a new GM and constantly just – there's got to be something to that. I can't put my finger on exactly what it is, but, like, the Patriots dynasty has effectively made the Dolphins and Jets worse than what they would usually be.
Probably. You probably fire guys a little extra because you put in these unrealistic expectations where it's like, all right, welcome. Now in 2 to 3 years, we'll be knocking off the Patriots. You fire that guy 3 years later, and you're like, all right, new coach, check this out. In 2 years, we're knocking off the Patriots.
Let's go. I think we finally got it right this time, guys. The Saints are 5-1. The Niners are 13-2. But you come down here to the Cowboys, they're still at 14-1. The win over the Giants did not impress the Vegas odds makers. Packers have the next best odds at 12-1, and the Eagles are back there at 16-1. I'd say that's pretty good midseason value at 14-1. I thought by now the Cowboys would be down to like 5 or 6-1, but they just, you know, that 3-game losing streak.
You get 12 teams in the playoffs. You have better than 12-1 odds and a good football team.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad bet. It's not a bad bet.
My money would go on, if I was in Vegas right now and had to bet, I would bet Saints. Their defense.
What was their number?
Really good.
The Saints number is 5-1.
And so you bet $100 there, you win $500.
You think they're almost 3 times more likely to win the Super Bowl than the Cowboys?
Yes, because I think that they're going to get a bye, and I think that is one of the most important things in football.
And you won't win in New Orleans in January.
And I think Drew Brees, they were there last year. They should have been in the Super Bowl. I just think that they have pretty much all the pieces except that other wide receiver on Michael Thomas's side. That's their one weakness,
right.
But their defense is good. They're going to get home field most likely, and you have Drew Brees who's been there, done that, and I don't think he's out of his prime yet. I know he's close to the end, but he's still playing very good football.
And even if you can't make all the great throws or run away from pressure, it's just your ability to avoid mistakes at that age more than makes up for your loss in athleticism.
And let's just say they play San Francisco, and I know San Francisco's schedule is about to get really tough. So even though they are undefeated and the number one seed, they could lose that. Is Jimmy Garoppolo is going to play in his first ever playoff games? I don't know the history of just making the playoffs and then immediately winning an AFC or NFC championship. But that seems very tough to do. Yeah. I mean, even Jared Goff, right? They had a high seed, and then they lost to the Falcons. Then the next year, he makes it to the Super Bowl. So I just wonder when it comes to the 49ers, and I do think they have a great team, I just wonder with having a guy going into his first ever playoffs, if he can actually accomplish that goal in his first ever playoff run.
All right, good stuff. As we continue the show live here in Louisville at Chill, it's right off of 35. If you need a great new spot to have dinner in this area or party it up, whatever it might be, Chill in Louisville is your destination. It's your destination for fun. DJ on the weekends from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. They got live music and express lunch menu Monday through Friday, 11 to 3. They got you covered in all categories and all bases here in Louisville at Chill. Okay, when we come back, it's time for Jeff Kavanaugh's Game Time Film Room Extravaganza.
I'll tell you a couple of the topics.
Yeah.
What Michael Bennett will mean for some of his teammates on the D-line and the sneaky young cowboy who's getting better could be big for them.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We're live at Chill in Louisville. Come on by, whether you want to have an after-work meal or a delicious cold beverage. Seems like a cool place to take a date, you know. Chill right here. They got live music at night on the weekends and a DJ. And if you come by, we have a Tolo back window decal for you right here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Okay, it is time for Jeff's Film Room, and the segment is brought to you by DFW Airport Parking, Auto Flex Leasing, state-of-the-art weight loss, and the Frankels. Hurt in an accident, not your fault. Call the office of Frankel & Frankel, 214-333-3333. Frankel & Frankel, official lawyers at the Tolo, frankelfirm.com. And here he is, Jeff, with the extravaganza.
Okay, I want to start off by talking about Michael Bennett's first game with the Cowboys. Everybody good with that? We good with that? All right.
Yes, please.
Okay, so Gavin texted me this morning, and he said, hey, Jeff, I know you don't have anything going on in life, so if you could just watch tape for a couple hours so that we could do this segment, it'd be great. And I said, thanks, man.
You gave me 8 hours of work.
Yeah. 16, but I crammed it into like an hour and a half. Anyway, Michael Bennett, the question was sort of, can he help create more favorable matchups for teammates? Like, what does him being on the team mean for the Cowboys? And so I went through and I was watching Michael Bennett on the old All-22, and in his first game with the Cowboys, I didn't think that the Giants were going to pay him a ton of attention. More like, go ahead and prove it before I take attention away from Robert Quinn or DeMarcus Lawrence. And I want to go to a two-play sample that you guys remember the play where Michael Bennett, it was 2nd and 6, Cowboys 8-yard line, and Michael Bennett tackled Saquon for a 1-yard gain. I don't know if you'll remember that exact play, but what happens is you get 2nd and 6, Cowboys 8-yard line, Michael Bennett is at left defensive end, which that's a bonus right off the bat there because, Mike, you always talk about how DeMarcus Lawrence, you wish he would play more snaps. Well, now if he's going to play 65% of the snaps, some of those snaps that he comes off, instead of Kerry Hyder, it's Michael Bennett, and that's an upgrade.
Yeah.
Because he's the guy that makes this play to get you to 3rd and 5 when they tried to block him with a tight end.
I do know on one of the Giants' best drives of the game, when they took it down the field and kind of marched down the field, DeMarcus Lawrence rested that whole drive until the end. When they needed to hold him to a field goal and not a touchdown, DeMarcus like, okay, I've watched them go, I don't know how many yards, 60, 70 yards. I will now come in to try to stop this team from scoring a touchdown. And it happened. It just shows you, though, when DeMarcus Lawrence goes off the field, the other team is probably going to start marching down the field. If you're hoping that they almost – cause it themselves, as in they hold, they fumble. They like, we can't stop that team, whoever it is, from marching down the field when DeMarcus Lawrence needs a rest.
Okay, so on this play, you're 2nd and 6. Michael Bennett lines up in DeMarcus Lawrence's spot at left D end. They put two tight ends over there. They ask one tight end to block Michael Bennett.
Uh-oh.
So that is not a show of massive respect to Michael Bennett.
Who do they think he is, Taco Charlton?
Right. So he beats that block.
They're probably like, this dude forgot to wear pads. This is going to be easy to block.
He doesn't even have proper equipment. So he makes a tackle for a 1-yard gain on Saquon Barkley. Now it's 3rd and 5. Now is where it gets fun. Here is where, yes, Michael Bennett is going to help teammates. It's just maybe not who you would think. So 3rd and 5, they're going to pass the ball. They line up with DeMarcus Lawrence at his normal end spot, but he's playing a wide 9. Now, don't expect everyone who listens to sports radio to know these dumb terms, But imagine where your defensive end would normally line up. Now move him out one position. So he's out where a defensive end would normally be, like, just outside of a tackle. Pretend there's another human on the offensive line, and he's moved out a spot. Michael Bennett lines up where DeMarcus Lawrence would normally line up as, like, a defensive end. There is no tackle on that side.
Huh.
So they put those two way over just to see, what are you going to do about it? Will you let us over here go against the tackle and the guard? What are you going to do about it? The other guys on the line are Malik Collins, who's lined up as the nose tackle, kind of on the other side of the center from them. And then you have Robert Quinn on the far outside. How are you going to deal with this offense? At the snap of the ball, Saquon Barkley helps Robert Quinn with Robert Quinn, so their left tackle gets help. DeMarcus Lawrence and Michael Bennett, the center at the snap of the ball, ignores the nose tackle and turns to his right. So they have center, guard, tackle, and they may have had a tight end on Michael Bennett and Tank. Like, you guys aren't going to beat us. So what it leaves in Cowboys pass rush situations, and the guy who's going to benefit the most if he can do it, is Malik Collins. Because Malik Collins was left with an area three humans wide against Will Hernandez.
Wow.
Now, in this scenario, he didn't win. Robert Quinn still got pressure. It was an incomplete pass, and they kicked a field goal. But that's the guy I think it's going to free up. You'll still pay attention to DeMarcus Lawrence. You'll still pay attention to Robert Quinn. But you may end up with your pass-rushing interior guy having a whole lot of room to operate against one blocker. So Michael Bennett, even the early returns are, yeah, he can help other guys get a better chance to pressure the quarterback.
Okay, and where are you with Malik Collins as far as expectations of his ability to take advantage of some of those one-on-one matchups? Statistically, his year doesn't look that bad.
No, it looks really good.
The narrative has been that he struggles.
Right, and I think he struggles a little bit as a run defender. I think I probably overrated in camp a little bit his play power. But as a pass rusher, I think he's been acceptable for what we thought he would be, but not quite lived up to what my hopes were. But I think he's about to have a lot of really good opportunities. So whatever his sack number is right now, what did he get? Like was that his third sack?
I think he's at
3.5
or 4.
3.5, something like
that. Yeah, 3.5 maybe.
I will predict he has 3 sacks.
Okay.
I'll predict that he ends the season with either 7 or 8.
Hey, that'd be a great year.
I think this is going to help him have a little more room to operate.
Get
so Michael
money.
Bennett, early returns, good.
I would say the last two games, Malik Collins, one without and one with, has been a better player. The guy that we were hoping out of training camp. I know it's only 2 games,
right,
but the Philly game and New York game, he's improved from what we've seen earlier.
Okay, little tease forward, speaking of Malik Collins, he had a big week because not only did he produce, but he dropped one of the best nicknames on a Cowboy at the end of the Sounds from the Sideline. We'll have those sounds coming up at 5:20.
Nice. The other guy that I wanted to take a look at was actually because they ran the ball so well and I thought they protected Dak well, I watched Connor Williams because I also asked the people. I was like, hey, what would you guys – because I didn't have an idea for my video this morning for 105.3thefan.com, so I did a mailbag. And
mailbag.
A couple people asked about Connor Williams. I think he's taken some pretty big strides, and he may, by the end of the year, be considered – I don't want to be too generous, but maybe above average as a starting guard.
Hey, now.
Because in this game – he had to deal with 2 very different people when he's blocking because sometimes it was Dalvin Tomlinson, who's a former Bama guy. He's a nose tackle. He's 320 pounds. He's your big, strong. What are you going to do? I'm tough. And then the other guy who he had to block more often was Leonard Williams, who's the exact opposite.
But he's beefy now.
He's
Leonard Williams.
But when you look at him next to their 320s, he ain't hard to find.
Okay.
Because I bet he's 285,
all
I'm
right.
guessing. You can tell a big difference between him and their real beefy dudes.
Okay.
So he had to block 2 different types of players, and he handled them both really well in pass protection. And I think he's – like, we've talked about his body a lot. A year ago, Connor Williams was probably too small to be a guard. And so it's hard to have the functional strength when you're going against the guy who I thought showed it the most was Jaron Reed when they played Seattle. When you played Jaron Reed – you were overmatched. He was just going to run through you consistently.
He's a shirt-off offensive lineman, and that shouldn't be the case unless you're an absolute mountain.
The only shirt-off lineman that's ever been acceptable was Tyler.
Yeah.
Because he was like 320 but looked 260.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy cow, look at that guy.
Yeah.
So he's now borderline strong enough, and he hasn't lost the athleticism, because where he was at his best is on a lot of these Zeke runs. It's Connor Williams who you'll see pulling from left guard, and he'll run around, and he's coming up here, or he'll run straight up to the linebacker level. And whether it was the middle linebacker or whether it was a DB, none of them could make him miss. You know, when you get a pulling guard and it's Sean Lee that's going to try to cut the playoff, you expect Sean Lee to beat that block, whether it's inside him or I get there before you can get there. But with Connor Williams, I think that's the best part of his game. Those guys can't beat his block.
And that's not just the poor giant playing?
Maybe to some extent, but
that shows up on other tape, though.
Yeah, when I see a guy wearing number 29 for a defense, it's like my 305-pound left guard shouldn't be able to consistently cut him off and stay in front of him and stop him from getting around him, but he does. So the athleticism he still has that he always had at Texas, but I think that the power part of it and the technician part of it is starting to come around. And Connor Williams had a really, really good game, I thought.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then I looked at Sean Lee, too, but there's no secret. It's Sean Lee.
He's still Sean Lee.
He sees it before you do. He's stepping before you are. He's, you know, and like their other linebackers on a couple of plays, like the Daniel Jones big bootleg, and on a couple of them, he took the cheese along with everybody else. But he's a half step ahead of everyone else. And the one thing that I really noticed about Sean Lee is Jalen Smith calls what the defense is going to do because he's got the headset mic. But as they're lined up and a motion is happening, it's really funny because Sean Lee's telling the guy to his left, and he's telling Jalen, and Jalen's looking at him like, okay, okay, okay. Like, Sean Lee is putting the people in position, even without being the guy with the headset.
Wow.
That's kind of leading to my question here. Did you watch Jalen Smith? Because we've watched him quite a bit and kind of get blown back and off the ball, and sometimes it's the defensive tackles not doing their jobs. I felt like he was around the line of scrimmage a lot.
He was pretty good
on runs, and he hasn't been around the line of scrimmage, I feel at least, for a lot of his snaps this year.
Yeah, I think he had a better game than some of the games he's had this year. And even going like sideline to sideline, I would say one of his worst plays was Saquon's kind of running up the middle, and as he gets through the trash, Saquon's kind of straightening up to go up the middle, and Jalen squared up right in front of him. And Saquon just cuts right, and Jalen can't catch him. So instead of being a stop for 0 yards, which maybe Sean Lee makes that tackle, it ended up being a gain of 7 or 8, but Jalen was still part of the play. He's still part of the tackle. He does that. He gets sideline to sideline really well. He's a really good blitzer, but he will get hung up on some blocks. Change of direction's not the best. But Jalen, I think, had a good game too. A lot of guys had a good game, and part of that may be the Giants, but he had a good game.
Yeah, and the more I think about kind of me talking about Jalen possibly going to defensive end on some plays, when I watch him blitz, he's really picking the hole as the guys are starting to feel like, all right, I got him, you got him. And then he's like, great, now I'm coming fast. And I found the mini gap to hit to get to the quarterback. And it's not really like a blocker is waiting on him and he beats a blocker. He sees everybody start locking up with the defensive line.
He picks his spot
to go through. And he's great at it. So I don't know if at defensive end, when the tackle is like, I got him, if he's going to be able to beat a guy like that.
Yeah, salute to Jalen Smith for overcoming everything he's had to still be a pretty dang effective player out there. It's a testament to all the hard work and his talent, you know. I think he's at about 70% of what he could be had his body healed totally. But 70% is still better than a lot of linebackers in the NFL at the starting level. Okay, little stuff on the Niners here. They are undefeated. The Cowboys might have to face them, and it's the lone undefeated team here. A couple of stats coming out of their most recent game. Their offense, running at least 31 times in every game this season, now averaging 38 per week, Jeff. What do you think? You know, Kyle Shanahan's a genius. We talk so much about it becoming a passing league. But, you know, Kyle Shanahan's very much at the forefront And we remember what he did in Atlanta. That was a lot of runs by Tevin Coleman and the other back whose name escapes
Devontae
me.
Freeman.
Yeah, Devontae Freeman. There was a lot of runs. So, you know, how do you reconcile both those ideas, that it's becoming a passing league, but Kyle Shanahan is so damn effective, running it almost 40 times a game?
Yeah, I guess. I'm trying to look up what their numbers are when they run this year, and it looks like they're right at 4.5 yards per carry. So it's not like they're having amazing success. They're just having average success running it. I don't know. I think ultimately the goal is scoring points on every drive. The goal is to get a first down. And if running the ball helps you to achieve that, then I'm all for it, right? Like, I don't hate running the ball. I'm a fan of doing whatever you think will be most efficient in that moment at getting you the most yards that you can. But they also have them in New England – dominant defenses. So I think part of it may just be, I don't mind running this game out because I'm going to get the ball on the 40. You're going to get it on your 5. So I feel like I'm going to be in a better spot all game than you are.
Here's the deal. They don't have Marshawn Lynch, but this is the new Seattle Seahawks that won the championship. Garoppolo is a young Russell Wilson type player. Who knows if he's going to be Russell Wilson like for his career. But it's just, to me, when I watch him, Gavin, they're like, yeah, it's fine. Punting is fine. You're not going to score, and if we can punt it down to the 10, you're going to go 3 and out, and now we're going to get the ball on the 40, and we only have to go 30 yards for 3 and 60 yards for 7. So to me, the 49ers, when I've watched them now, are reminding me a little bit of what the Seahawks were 4 and 5 years ago.
All right, good stuff as we broadcast from Chill in Louisville right off of 35. Swing on by, you know, get something to eat here after work, something delicious to drink, very friendly staff, and everything you could possibly want right here at Chill. We'll go around the NFL when we get back right here in the nation. It's time to chill. You getting out of work? Come on over. We're in Louisville at Chill. It's off of 35. A great night spot, happy hour, dinner, whatever you want. If it's eats and drinks, then this is a fantastic spot. We have Tolo Back Window Decals with our guy Steven over here in promotions. And we're having a nice little Wednesday here. And this guy, Alex Caruso for the Lakers, he looks like a middle-aged gym teacher. Apparently he's 25 years old. He played at A&M.
Yeah. I was watching last night. I flipped over because college basketball, it's interesting you're bringing this up, because college basketball, I've been very entertained by it the last few years because the Mavericks have been kind of a potential top five pick type of team. And so last night I'm watching and I found myself with a lack of interest because I'm like, the Mavericks aren't getting any of these, you know, like if they're a great player, who cares? We're not picking in the top five, and I don't even think we're going to be a lottery team, like top 14 picks. So I lost interest and saw on the bottom line, oh, Lakers and Bulls are in somewhat of a close game in the fourth quarter, and I knew it was on NBA TV. I flip over, and I tell you what, LeBron and Anthony Davis just look unbelievable.
Yes.
Saw them against the Mavs, and now saw them last night in the
fourth
quarter.
They're locked in. It's playoff LeBron from the jump.
And their third best player was the dude from Texas A&M,
like
stealing basketballs, getting and one.
Isn't he bald back here?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So he should get an endorsement.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're in L.A.
I mean, there's opportunities for him. And he's a baller. I mean, he plays hard and he's fun. He's, you know, he can do everything that you need him to do. He just, he looks like he's about 10, 15 years older than he actually is.
Yeah, and so anyways, watching the Lakers last night, and I know the Bulls aren't a very good team, but, man, if they're healthy, watch out.
I totally agree. Okay, it's time to go around the NFL, though, and it's brought to you by WinStar World Casino and Resort.
Yeah.
You got first down, Jeff?
Yeah, well, let's talk about a guy that I thought could play. And coming into this year, I was a believer, and a lot of people were a year ago, and now pretty much no one's a believer, and I'm officially out on Mitch Trubisky, the Bears quarterback.
I bet they're calling him Mitch the B-word up there.
They should. If they weren't before today, they're going to start today.
Uh-oh, what happened?
So Mitch Trubisky recently quoted as saying he watched the TV copy of a loss this season in order to better understand how his outward appearance can affect his teammates. He was working on his body language and stuff. He's like, oh, man, that body language looks pretty bad. He says, I've done pretty good with that now, trying to fix that, trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off because you got too many people talking on TV about us and what they think about us, what we should do, what we are and what we're not.
Not the confidence we needed, Mitch.
But they don't really know who we are or what we're capable of as people or what we're going through or what we're thinking. It's just the outside viewers looking in. So tunnel vision, earmuffs, and just come to work every day and try to get better and get better. So all of that is like almost okay, except for the part where it's like, got to get them to turn the TVs off because they're talking bad about us.
Yeah.
No.
That makes my feelings, and then I go out and have bad body language.
You're not allowed to, as the starting quarterback, first-round pick of an NFL team, be that sensitive to what's going on the TV that hangs up in the corner inside. Turn it off. I don't like it. Like when the... like when we first heard that RG3 didn't like to watch his negative plays, I was stunned.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, if you're going to avoid everything that's negative, how in the world do you plan to get better? And Mitch is apparently so sensitive. He's like, turn off the TV. They're talking mean about me. Well, play better, dude.
Yeah.
Like you had people that you were picked ahead of two guys that are maybe going to go to the Hall of Fame and Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes, and people are going to talk about you if you don't play well. So you need to focus on playing well and shut up about what TV's turned on.
I think the good news for him, though, if I could tell him, hey, in about 2 to 3 years, you're not going to be in the NFL, so you don't have to worry about people talking about you. So
I thought you were going to say there haven't been any good Bears quarterbacks for the past 40 years, so he's fitting right in.
Yeah, Rex Grossman has been their best, and he was not good either.
Kyle Orton.
Holy cow. Stop
being
sensitive.
The dude from UCLA, Luke McCown, was that his name?
Oh, that was brutal.
He threw up during a game.
Yeah.
That's his highlight of his career.
It's been torturous. You want the quarterback that'll be like, oh, that's interesting. What are they saying over there? They're talking a bunch of crap about you. Okay, I pay no attention to that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't depress me. It doesn't excite me. I got a job to do. Okay, and I got 52 other people who are looking at me like I'm supposed to have the answers and to be totally dialed in and confident, okay? I'm not saying you have to be that kind of a leader in order to be successful.
Some of them in history have probably also been the, okay, what's his name? Got it. Going to go throw for 400 and going to find him in the locker room and give him a thumbs up.
Okay, around the NFL, brought to you by Winstar World Casino and Resort. I got a quick second down here, Mike, and then I'll kick it to you.
All right.
It's brought to you by Winstar. Deshaun Watson had the most 2019 possible moment on television. Did you guys see this?
I don't know.
I hadn't seen it until this morning for some reason, but he was asked how his eye was after winning because it looked a lot better. The reporter was interviewing him, and all the swelling had come down, and there was just a little bit of disturbance left in his eye. And his answer was quite interesting on several different levels. He says, I'll tell you the key. It was the Popeye spicy chicken sandwiches that I ate this week.
Oh, yeah.
They helped the eye.
Yeah.
So, good fun story. He's topical, but I think the tie-in is he's coming off of Dak Prescott's spicy nugget deal at Wendy's that may or may not have made Dak a little bit of money. The interesting thing about this, Deshaun Watson and the Texans were actually in London all week.
Yeah.
So, if it's not product placement, he must have had those chicken sandwiches shipped over to London. They are that good.
Okay.
You know, you can get next day air to London.
They're not that good.
Well, for some people, they are. I'm with you, Jeff. We don't like the sauce, so they're not that good to us.
Yeah,
apparently, the sauce sets it off.
Yeah, sauce sets it off.
Yeah.
Why doesn't every chicken company make a spicy chicken something? Like,
I mean,
everybody likes it better. I shouldn't say everybody. Most people like the spicy chicken whatever better than the regular chicken.
I don't even like a regular chicken sandwich. If you don't have spicy, I pass. I'll just take some fries and mozz sticks.
Does Chick-fil-A make a spicy breaded sandwich? Obviously they do because they had the. Do they make a spicy breaded chicken nugget?
I don't think so.
Like, what are we doing?
I know. I want all the spice.
Yeah.
You know, hey, let's mix it up. Make sure you're accounting for that that spice on all your chicken-related menu items. Here is Mike with third down.
One of our favorite peoples that we miss a lot in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, Dane Brugler, working for The Athletic, has his updated draft board. This doesn't mean where they will get drafted. It just means that his is his best kind of draft board on where he ranks them. Chase Young, number one, Ohio State edge rusher. He has as the best player in college football.
Yeah, since I haven't started tape yet, I can't agree with that one, though, because I've seen enough Ohio State to know that that dude is the best. He'll be the best player in this draft.
Do you think you'll grade him higher than the Bosa's?
That's a heck of a bar. He's outproducing them in college, but like they are such freaking finished products coming
out of
school.
That's because the Boses didn't want to play their last year in college.
That's true. That is very true. Yeah.
All right, Tua T, number two. Now, if you are looking for offensive tackles and you stink and you like your young quarterback, Tristan Wirfs from Iowa is number three, and Andrew Thomas of Georgia is number four. So two offensive tackles in the top four of Dane Brugler's big board. Joe Burrow is number five. I am going to not bet, but I think that Joe Burrow at the end of this will get drafted higher than Tua T in the draft. He doesn't get hurt all the time like Tua T does. Number six is Jeffrey Okabuda.
He's local. You better try harder. He's a local.
Man, put some respect on name. That's fam right there. Put some respect
Okuda.
On that name.
Okuda.
Yeah.
Okuda. Roll call.
He's
okay.
Local. You better get that name that's right
fam.
By draft time.
Where's he from?
Which
South
was it
Grand Prairie. I told you that's fam. Our families know each other. We together a lot. Yes.
Okuda. I got it.
Put some respect on that name.
Derrick Brown, defensive tackle, Auburn. That's the worst case scenario for Gavin. If you're tanking, you got to take a sting of defensive tackle with one of
worst.
Your picks, right?
He's a horse, though. He's tough.
Number eight, Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver. Number nine, Isaiah Simmons, linebacker safety from Clemson. That's interesting. Linebacker safety.
A lot of people do. Like Jabril Peppers was a linebacker slash safety in college. A lot of people have a position like that on their defense.
Rounding out your top ten, Rover. Another offensive tackle out of Alabama, Jedrick Willis Jr. Wills Jr. out of Alabama. And then just outside the top ten, CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver, Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
So just to give you an idea of his top ten guys, and I just put number 11 in since it's Oklahoma.
Okay, I'm in the market for one of those receivers if the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, let's do CeeDee Lamb there. In late 20s, it's not going to happen, though, is it?
I'm here to sling it all over the yard. I don't know. I guess it just depends how early people are willing to take them and what order people think they are, because there's a lot of good receivers.
Okay, just to give you an idea, Chenault,
LaVisca,
wide receiver, Colorado, he's 21.
Yep.
As I scroll in our area of wide receivers where we'll be picking, T. Higgins, wide receiver for Clemson, he's 6'3". Mm-hmm. And then wide receiver Jalen Reagor of TCU, who's a different guy because he's 5'10",
he's
so 5 inches shorter. So there are three guys that will maybe be around your kind of mid to late first round.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. We are 2.5 hours from tip-off. The top storylines and what the Mavs must do to have success against the Magic. That's coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.